staff were starting to feel in terms of having to change the way they were doing their practice. So, I mean, I put this together. It was not based on anything to do with any empirical best practice of any kind. It was strictly drawing on my own intuition as a manager and a leader, my own intuition as a clinician. A couple of things I researched in terms of what other organizations might have been doing, what the health profession was doing. And so most of it was sort of scratching my belly and rubbing the top of my head and thinking intuitively. And it got pretty good feedback. The staff really felt that it hit home for them. It put it in a context, and they were really able to get down to business doing it. So I'm going to run through it today, not the way I presented it to staff, but more so if you wanted to take it and use it in any capacity, it was sort of where I was coming from on some of the slides and thoughts I was doing. And none of this will come as rocket science to anybody. It was all very intuitive. It was really validating the feelings of what staff were already experiencing and what some of their clients were already experiencing. So they could just go, ah, okay, I'm on the right track. I'm not from another planet here. And that really helped sort of calm things down organizationally for us. So I'm going to run through it fairly quickly, and then we can open it up. I'm going to share my screen. I guess that's what I have to do, right? Where are you here?
It's on your desktop, right?
I got it. Here we go. Now, bear with me for technology here, because when I did this to the staff, there's a couple of places where there's a link to a couple of videos. Come on. And so I had some technical difficulties in navigating those. So if they don't pop up, I'll just send Lisa the links. And they were videos that I searched on YouTube. They came up very, very at the very top of the search list, and I kind of went from there. So, and anyone who knows me knows I like to inject a little humor into things, try to be a little bit lighthearted. So I did throw a few kinds of jokes and cartoons and interesting graphics, and the videos are quite cute, but they do make the message. So I just wanted to touch base with folks just in terms of what some of the realities are right now. And I wanted them to be assured that first and foremost, as an organization and for themselves, they needed to maintain their own safety, their safety and the safety of others. So we were just reinforcing the messaging of good social distancing, hand washing, no face-to-face contact with clients, and the reasons why we were doing that. It was all fairly straightforward. I wanted to support people in the fact that, yes, we're professionals and we have jobs to do, but we're also people, and that COVID-19 was increasing stress in all of us, whether it was the stress of having to change the way we're living, or the stress of potentially contracting the virus, or the stress of potentially transmitting it to somebody else. And I just wanted to put that out there for people that that's a valid feeling to have, and it's quite normal to have that. One of the challenges and the realities also was that now you had to work where you live and live where you work. And now it's not really by choice. There's times that we do work at home, but not on a very long-term basis. It's not like we're a private sector where we're trying to get people working remotely. So just to be mindful of certain things, in terms of when you're starting your day and your own hygiene and making sure you shave in the morning and put on a pair of pants. We've heard funny stories about people standing up during Zoom meetings and they didn't wear pants, taking their phone into the washroom during a Zoom meeting and thinking, oh, whatever, not really being mindful of those things and really trying to keep routines. So that it really is a different kind of work-home balance. This is one of the challenges staff we're going to face. Trying to figure out how to make that work for you in terms of being able to feel like you're proficient and efficient and getting things done, but also knowing that it's your home. And that's usually the place you go to get away from work in an ideal world. So it's creating huge changes in our routines and our schedules. I mean, I have one staff person say, you know, working from home is great on the one hand, because now, you know, I don't have a 40-minute commute into the office. I could sleep an extra 40 minutes. But all the other changes that came with it, trying to figure out that balance and the changes in scheduling and routines. That it would involve a different kind of contact with clients. Not uniquely different, but just more of it, more remote, more virtual, more telehealth, more of those kinds of communications, and obviously less face-to-face, because as most of us did, we had procedural changes that we were going to not have face-to-face contact with clients or have any in-office visits. We talked about, and this is where a lot of my staff, were quite anxious about the use of technology. You know, most of them in the office tend to rely on the IT people or those other staff that know more than they do. And now they were going to be stuck at home with their computers and these platforms that they have to use, and how to pick up different things on your iPhone and different apps. And so they were getting stressed about that. And I wanted to validate that that's perfectly okay, and that we were all here to support each other and to get them the tech support they needed. Just letting them know that clients were going to feel more isolated and more alone. And as social workers and as clinicians, just to be extremely mindful of that, and to put that lens on any kinds of behaviors that clients might be manifesting that we may not have seen before. To try to look at it through that lens of a mini trauma lens. And that they would be feeling more fearful and more anxious. So they're probably going to feel more short with you, they're going to have just less emotional reserves to be able to problem solve. So you may see more situations that come out to be like a crisis that in the past would not have been a crisis. And I wanted to validate for staff that, you know, we're human beings as well. And even though we have to put on that professional front of we're okay and we're here, this is also going to happen in us, because we're part of this this big continuum and change of being affected by the virus and the change in social distancing and the various aspects of that. And so I put up this that, again, I Googled all this stuff, just things to be mindful of in terms of managing anxiety for yourself, for children, for those that are quarantining or in some sort of isolation, the importance of routines and self-care and connecting through direct means, you know, not a heavy reliance on email, but more so pick up a phone and phone somebody or talk to people, avoiding excess media coverage. How many times can you hear the same thing over and over again and not get anxious? So some of the challenges they had and that we had is, I'm sure in your workplaces as well, this is sort of a part of the culture of working in a Jewish family service agency. It is an extremely social environment. And connecting on a day-to-day basis with your coworkers in that way, it's just not happening anymore in the same way. So I just put it straight out there. It's very weird and it's very different, and it's going to require some adaptation to do that. So one of the things we did was we ensured that prior to all meetings that we take the first 5 minutes just to socialize, just like we did today. Most people do it naturally, but in general, we had managers make sure they were doing it consciously and mindfully. With social distancing, we wanted staff to make sure they were very mindful around their own sense of feeling isolated and how that was playing out. And so we had regular check-ins with people, especially the people we were more concerned about. We made sure that we had regular check-ins with them. We wanted staff to try to develop a bit more mindful practice themselves around their own sense of anxiety and isolation and sense of feeling disconnected. So we encourage people to schedule social breaks on your calendar during the day. Take 10 minutes, put it in your calendar, call a coworker, call somebody and have a cup of coffee over the phone. Have a Zoom visit with them. Something, because we have to do the social distance thing. But it doesn't mean we have to stay disconnected during that time. And keeping it to work-related individuals would be even better because that's the work day. So it would be very different than, you know, knocking on your husband's office and say, let's grab a coffee, right? That's something you do after work. Pick up a phone and call one of your coworkers or Zoom with one of your coworkers while you're having coffee and talk about what you would do here at the office. And again, you know, that big question just to validate more, home isn't where I work. Trying to get people's mind to thinking that, you know, hopefully this is temporary, might be long, but still temporary, and keeping that in mind. So, you know, that individuals might feel less productive. I know I did at first, and I validated that for people. Usually you've got a pretty full plate. You come in and there's lots of stuff and lots of action. So you might go home at the end of the day and think, you know, I didn't get nearly as much done as I should have. So just to validate that could happen. We all know that communication changed. So just letting them know that they may feel out of the communication loop, you know, where you could normally just walk over and knock on someone's door and get some information or call an impromptu meeting or something like that. It's not going to happen as much. So you may feel out of the loop, but we want to know that so we can improve. And I'm sure most of our agencies, if not all, really ramped up their communication protocols around this. And as time passed, staff were feeling more and more connected. I wanted to validate that technology is neither perfect or ideal, but face it, we need to use it. You know, it made us really quickly realize that that the hardware that we had, some of it just wasn't beefy enough for staff to be able to do this from home. We're out purchasing a dozen really high power laptops right now in the event that there's another turnaround and we have to send people home again. We want to let them know that we understand their technology flaws that are out there, and we're going to do everything we can to support them in their work. Some people might feel they're working too much, and that, you know, 5 o'clock rolls around and they're not turning things off. So we're being very, very strict around that here, to letting people know that your work day here is 9 to 5, unless you worked evenings before. We're keeping you to that. So when the time comes to turn off your computer, turn it off. If somebody needs to get a hold of you in a crisis, we know how to reach you. Take the time in the evening that is your time and make it your time and get that good balance. So with that, we wanted to let people know that, you know, tackle what you feel you can tackle during a day. Even if it's just a few priorities, set them for yourself. Everything else in between are good fillers of things you need to do, but so that you feel productive by the end of the day, try to accomplish a few things you've set out for yourself. This is stuff we would normally do, but just trying to be more mindful of it now and increasing that mindfulness factor. We wanted to kind of let people know, and this was going around in different memes and videos and jokes and whatever, that it's true. You're going to sit around more. You know, the gym is not accessible for you. I don't know about you guys, but the weather here in the month of April was awful. It's been freezing still. We haven't had a great summer, spring type of day yet, so people have been indoors even more. All the jokes about, you know, not moving around, not getting enough exercise, eating more junk, eating more frequently. So we wanted to let people know that, you know, be mindful of that and try to get active. Just wanted to show, hopefully I can try a new share. I guess that's what I do, right? Where am I here?
Are you trying to click the here? Click here?
If I click it, it's going to not kick this one out. I'm just going to go to my, where am I here? I'll find it. I will find it. I think it's this one. And I'll need to find that one. Can you guys see that?
I saw that. That's funny. I've seen this one. It's good.
It's assuming you can get toilet paper. to listen to this guy. I'll come back now. Where am I? Here we go. So it just gave people a little bit of a giggle and a chuckle, and they had a sense that you can do things just getting out and moving your feet. Sometimes I'll sit at my desk and I'll realize, well, I haven't gotten up in about 3 hours. It's time to get up and stretch my legs and take a little walk.
And hold on, Al, even if you do have a gym behind you, like I do, sometimes you don't use it. So
Exactly. I had somebody, a friend of mine, I like to play guitar, and one of my weekend projects was to put all the guitars up on the wall and hang them up. And it turns out that I happened to put them right in front of them is a beautiful elliptical machine. And I sent this picture to a guitar friend of mine and said, this was my project. And he said, the guitars are the elliptical. And I said, I wish I got on the elliptical. I get on the elliptical even less than I play the guitars. You know? So, you got to be very mindful of it, and you just got to do it, right? So it is really important with all of the change. We wanted to encourage staff to know you got to be flexible. It's really different. It's difficult. We don't like change, but try to go with it. Try to kind of go with the flow here. And so some of the things that can help you make these psychological changes, find a consistent and dedicated workspace. You know, I had our CFO had set up his sort of home office in a specific area. And after about a week, he realized, I can't work in here. I've got to move it to somewhere that I don't do most of my relaxing at home. So I think he ended up converting another little space that he frequents less in terms of his, you know, watching TV or relaxing or whatever he might be doing. That's kind of what I've done at home when I'm working from home. I work at the office most days because there's nobody here. But I've done that. It's kind of a space that I'm not usually in, for sure not, you know, doing any kind of relaxing. And that's what I've dedicated to some workspace. We also made a suggestion, you know, that whole 9-to-5 piece about people, you know, nothing prevents you from, at 8:45, putting on your jacket and taking a walk to the corner or a drive around the block, parking in your driveway, and then coming into work. And then at 5:00, getting in your car and driving around the block, listen to a little bit of music or the news, and come back home from work. And I've had a few staff do that, and they've said it really does make, it's small, but it makes a really important psychological shift for you. So again, that's where the therapist in me started kicking in a little and thinking of some of these intuitive things people could do. Even more so now, increasing the amount of communication with your peers and with your managers. So if you have a question, if you have something you need to know about, reach out, pick up a phone. Don't just rely on the text or an email. Pick up a phone and call. For one thing, I wanted to support staff in knowing that being as clear as you can in an email or a text is much more difficult because it's much harder to convey emotion, feeling, whatever it may be. So just, you know, pick up the phone and call. Make it a Zoom meeting. We all have access to Zoom as an agency. Pick it up, set it up. And then get on and see a person's face, hear their voice while you're looking at them like we're doing right now. And but be mindful of a few things, audio on or audio off, right? Or video off. So we call that virtual door knocking. It's what you would do here. You would walk down the hall and knock on someone's door. Again, I mentioned this, allowing time before meetings and maybe even after meetings just to catch up, you know. What's your favorite recipe? What do you guys do for dinner? What are you watching on Netflix? How are things going? I love your new top. I love what you did with your hair. It's gotten so much longer, you know, things like that. Even more than managing time, we wanted to really encourage people that we're so fixated in general on time management, right? We have to make a shift at this point to energy management. You know, if you're finding yourself at certain times of day, your energy is waning, then that's a good signal to get up and do something different. You know, get up from your chair, get up from in front of your computer, go make yourself a cup of coffee, go, you know, take a walk, do something different. And we encourage people to even schedule that. And everybody's energy levels during the day are different, so they would need to. But we were supporting them in doing that. In other words, we weren't expecting them to sit at their desks 9 to 5 all day long. We encouraged people to schedule breaks into their calendar and to stick to it. Whether that's scheduling an individual break or a break with a coworker, but put it in and stick to it. This way you don't get caught throughout the day like I did, going 3-4 hours at a time and not moving from my desk and not shifting my train of thinking and my brain energy. So staff have said that this one was a really important one, even if they just did it twice a day. We wanted to provide some support to the staff to let them know that their work really isn't much different. It's not as different as they think or they thought it was going to be. They were very fixated on switching to remote services. So for agencies that were already doing that, great. It was something that they could just continue. But we were not doing that here. So we really needed to let staff know that working remotely is going to be different and connecting with clients remotely is going to be different. And then I put in the, or is it? I wanted to encourage and support staff that a session is a session is a session. Now, I remember the days of doing work with young kids in therapy and sometimes doing it in my car as we were driving to get an ice cream cone. You know, that was still therapy because we were, the interaction was still the same. And I wanted to just keep reinforcing to them that they are really good professionals and they know their work and they're excellent at it, and just keep doing that. The talking has always been their greatest tool, whether it's face-to-face or over the phone or over a video chat. That's your greatest tool. You might have to modify it a little bit, but keep doing that. You know, and some of them were coming up with, yeah, but I rely so heavily on the nonverbal cues. We've been trained. It's been ingrained in us as professionals to look for those things. So I said, you know, when you can't see it, ask about it. You know, the cliche question that we have as clinicians is, how does it make you feel? Just ask those kinds of questions and probe more. You know, when we can't see it, ask about it. We want to make sure that people are doing more clarification of information that might be unclear. If somebody says something and you're not sure, because you can't necessarily see them or see their full body language, ask more about that. And dig and probe a little bit more, because you want to make sure that things are much clearer when you're communicating this way. This is true of telehealth and virtual health services in general. This was one that I did come across some empirical research on that actually shows that when you're doing virtual types of visits and appointments and meetings with clients, it can actually lead to them being more open and more honest than they normally would be face to face. And one of the things they attributed that to was a bit of a buffer of distance, a virtual kind of so-called distance. It's an old tactic I used to use when I did therapy with children. We'd sit back to back talking on little Fisher Price telephones. You know, we couldn't see each other, but talking on the little Fisher Price phone, the child felt safer to be able to share. I didn't recommend Fisher Price phones for the staff, but I think they got the idea. And I just kept encouraging them. They're good at what they do. You're good at your jobs. Your clients trust you, so you should trust yourself. And just continue to do the great work that you do, and continue doing that every day. And just some little tips here. Now, these are some things that have been floating around the internet for sure. As much as possible, try to keep your home private from clients. We encourage all staff to block their phone IDs when they were calling people, particularly from their cell phones. We don't all give out cell phone numbers to clients here, personal cell phones. If you're using I saw somebody there, Amy, you got your virtual background going there. So if you're using Zoom or something that allows for that, create a neutral background that's, you know, professional looking but more neutral, so that people don't see, you know, what you've got going on behind you. You know, the kids walking in and out, you know, the style of your home. It just creates a bit more professional distance and maintains that. That our staff needed to be very open, and this was a risk management matter, be very open with your clients about the limited potential for privacy that some of these virtual platforms are creating. We've heard about all the stuff that's gone on with Zoom and the Zoom bombing. We have various government contracts and they don't allow us to use Zoom in certain contexts. So we have to be very clear with that, about that with clients, and to document every single time that we've had that conversation. And are they okay to proceed in this manner? Office or home, it was important for people to know that interruptions happen. They happen at the office. We can just manage them better. So what they needed to do is, you know, we were trying to encourage, when these things happen, just go with it. You know, the dog is going to bark. Your kids are going to walk into the room. If people don't understand that, you know, use it as part of the discussion, you know, use the humor behind it and the absurdity of all of this as part of it in your discussion. I showed them this very short little video. Where did you go again now? Here, this is a good one too. Can you guys see that? Yeah, okay.
Scandals happen all the time. The question is, how do you monitor those scandals?
And what will it mean for the wider region? I think one of your children has just walked in. I mean, shifting sands in the region. Do you think relations with the North may change?
I would be surprised if they do. My apologies.
The region.
My apologies. South Korea's policy choices on North Korea have been severely limited in the last 6 months.
Anyway, I think you get the gist of that one. Let me go back here. Good, I'm glad that worked. So I was just trying to give the message to staff there that, you know what, loosen your ties, folks. You know, these things are going to happen. You know, see the humor in it. Don't get frustrated with it. Go with it. And we all hopefully understand. A couple more, four or five more minutes here. So again, also be flexible in your therapeutic relationship. Understand that your therapy is going to be different. Doesn't mean it's not going to be effective. So one of the things that we encourage people to do is keep those resources and support materials that you would have for clients very handy, whether it's electronically handy or having them right next to you, so that you can share them very quickly with clients as things arise. We encouraged people, they had to document the type of visit they were having. If it was over the phone or Zoom or FaceTime, whatever platform. Again, these were just good risk management practices that we were using. We wanted people to think in advance, how would they handle an emotional situation? We have all of our staff trained in suicide intervention skills. How would you handle a remote suicide intervention with a client or a crisis with a client remotely when you can't just get in your car, pick them up and take them to the local crisis center or to the local emergency room? How would you handle that? So it just got people thinking about how they would preemptively problem solve certain things. And that really helped reduce some of their stressors, because it was one question they said, how am I going to deal with a crisis with a client when I can't go and see them or get them through it? So this was very, very helpful. And we encourage them to deal with it the way you would always deal with it. You just can't go there. You're going to talk them through it. You're going to access the resources in your local areas that you have to support them through those crises. We wanted to let them know, and managers committed to this, of course, that your supervisors and your managers are just as available, if not more available, than they were before. So consult with them. We don't expect anybody, just because you're working in isolation doesn't mean you're working in a vacuum. We encourage them, and they have been availing themselves of this a lot in terms of reaching out to managers more And managers are being very, very mindful and conscious of being extremely available to their staff. And most importantly, and this is the very last, second last slide we have here, is we wanted to let people know that the most important thing above all was self-care. The fact that this is different than everything we've talked about, if there are things they can do to look after themselves, we've heard a lot of this going around online, but also if there are things that we as an agency can do. So we have a staff self-care committee at JCFS here. It was proposed by staff, it's for staff, and they're constantly doing, during the day, with the support of the agency and the rubber stamp of the agency during the workday, they're doing all kinds of self-care activities. We have an office loaded with plants, which has been my job to look after with everybody working remotely. It was an activity we did one day at a lunchtime where we planted plants for people's offices because we know plants do good things for the air quality and the environment. They did one, we had a music therapy student that was doing a placement at our agency. She did a music therapy self-care activity last week. Prior to Passover, our staff got on to do a self-care activity where we shared a childhood Passover memory. We had one where it was a bring a joke to work. So we had a self-care activity where everyone told a joke. Various kinds of things like that we're doing on a scheduled basis. And we were doing that anyway. We're just now doing it virtually. And again, sharing lots of activities with people electronically about stuff you've learned, stuff you've done, things that worked for you. I know we have some staff that are doing socially distant walks together because they're very close and that helps. That's just something we've done. And then what I did is then I opened it up to the staff. I didn't want them to just focus on, you know, the stresses of working remotely and working alone. And I think now we're going to start doing one maybe on the stresses of thinking of coming back. So we're very interested in the May 20th workshop. But we wanted staff to start sharing, you know, what's working well. We do mapping here as an agency on a regular basis. We ask 3 key questions to solve any problem. What are we worried about? What's working well? And what are the next steps to helping solve those issues? So this was one that we used, and staff were all able to share all kinds of things that have been more positive for them or problems that came up that they were able to resolve with support or independently. So that opened it up for a very, very lively discussion. So I thought I would open it up here too. Are there things in your organizations that have been working well in this new environment that your staff are reporting? We've even had our United Way ask us that question. Are there some really good successes that have come out of adapting your work? And so I shared with United Way the way we did Passover hamper delivery this year, Passover deliveries. It was phenomenal the way people stepped up, but we were able to do it, and the clients were extremely happy to have received it, and somehow it made Passover that much more meaningful this year. So our staff, we continue to highlight that, you know, what's working well. Let's always go back to that. That was what I presented. The staff really received it well. Obviously, we've learned stuff since then. And
so, Al, I'd like
to say my belly rubbing was pretty bang on, because most of the stuff I touched on is stuff that resonated with staff.
Terrific. I think it was great. Thank you so much. If you can stop sharing your screen, that would be good for us. But I want to just say I'm glad that you ended it with what's working well, because a lot of times on these calls that I've been having, you know, we know what's not working, but it's nice to think about, you know, what is working. And I just wanted to say on May 27th at 1, we're having IsraAid, which is this big organization in Israel, I think, coming to talk about, you know, all of their self-care techniques that they do. I'm not sure all the details, but I think there are 12 different kinds of activities. So if you're interested in that, that's on May 27th. You can just look on the calendar to find out about it. But anyway, let's hear from you all. So what's working well? What's going on? Thank you so much, Al. I'm going to
put that on our COVID-19 resources file. Sure. So anyone can take it and tailor it to there.
I'll send you this version because I just tweaked it.
And you can tailor it to your own agency. So anything working well? Anything happening? I know Rachel's doing really well.
Well, one thing we're doing in Memphis that's worked out really well is we do our meals to our meal clients on Fridays, and we use volunteers a lot to do that. And with all this craziness going on, instead of letting them deliver to multiple clients, we have one volunteer per client, and we stagger them throughout the morning so that we meet them at their cars. We have masks, they have masks, they have gloves, we have gloves. And they're only taking it to one client, and it's so staggered that we never have any type of multiple people there. And it's worked out really well, and it's engaged a lot more volunteers too, which they've enjoyed. Instead of having less volunteers delivered to multiple clients, we've used more volunteers that it's allowed them to be engaged during this season. And then we have some clients that pick up their meals. And then we just stagger them as well so that we never have too many people come into our agency at any one time, just one at a time to get the meals, whether pickup or delivery.
So you were resourceful creating that.
And it's really, like I said, we like it so much, to be honest with you, because before volunteers or clients would kind of just let us know when they were coming and we'd have to stop what we're doing and, you know, do it. But we've liked it so much that even when we get back to some semblance of normalcy, we're going to try to pretty much implement this same process because it really is a more streamlined process for everybody. So right. The volunteers aren't having to wait on us because we know what time they're coming. We have their meals ready to go. The clients, you know, for them, right. It's set and ready to go. Mm-hmm. And so it's like I said, we like it so much. We're probably going to continue at least a good part of it. Even once we get back to some sense of normalcy.
I think a lot of agencies are going to continue to do the kinds of things they're doing now once they get back to some sense of normalcy. I mean, I've heard a lot about telemental health that people say it's a lot easier and people have more clients because they show up because they don't have to go anywhere, a lot less cancellations. I don't know if that's been the way for everybody, but I've heard that in different agencies.
We've had the best attendance rate at board meetings ever.
Yeah. Anyone else? I meant to say Lori's not here today. She had an unexpected meeting she had to go to, and she wanted me to let you all know that I should have told you in the beginning. She'll be at the next one. Yeah, Tara, what's up?
So just in terms of staying on with the working from home theme, we are a very small JFS within an integrated federation, 3 full-time staff, I'm one of 3. And I had 2 new staff. The other 2 staff had just started late December, early January. So we were still trying to figure out normal and routines going into this. And one of our new social worker, who I just started in January, her baby started at our daycare center, which is closed. So she, you know, she's got the baby at home with her now on top of everything. What's worked really well for us and for everyone staying connected and for her sanity too, home with 2 dogs, 3 cats, and her baby by herself, is in the morning, one of us starts a message thread on our phone, very brief, some cartoon joke of the day, and we never have to pick who's starting it, someone just does it. And we have created our own COVID playlist where we take turns picking a song of the day, and some relate to what's going on. We have a very twisted sense of humor. We've had things like Don't Touch Me, Can't Touch This, and They're Coming to Take Me Away, ha ha hee hee ho to the Funny Farm, depending on our mood. And so we have quite the extensive playlist, and it's quite eclectic, and it's helped us with just sort of bonding and keeping ourselves relatively sane, whatever that is. And each day we meet at 4:00 by Zoom, and we can talk during the day about issues, but about 20 minutes of that is just checking in on each other, because normally we're a social office and kibitz between things, and we've lost that connection. And so it's some combination of checking in on each other and what's gone on today and what are the key things tomorrow, how do we have to regroup? And that's been a huge help in getting through all this, maintaining some shred of sanity.
Are other agencies doing that kind of like happy hour once a week or a check-in with staff that they're not talking about all of this. I think that helps. We do it at NJHSA at 5:30 on Thursdays.
We do Monday morning meetings, so starting the week. We do talk business, but we also start the meeting with how's everybody going, what's happening in your life, that sort of
thing. Monday, they must feel great. They've been off all weekend. You got to do it on Friday. Then you find out.
Well, I'm finding that they also don't have any problem talking about the things that are getting in their way, which is great because we need to address those as well. And perhaps they're feeling better about them on Monday morning than they might be on Friday. But so we're still addressing that. We did quite a bit of, we spent quite a bit on technology upgrades so that our phone system just phones directly. When people phone in the office, it just phones directly to people's cell phones. And there's apps on our phones and our computers that are our phone system. But we did have people who had trouble with technology, and that was very stressful for them, you could see. So again, sending out our tech support people to make sure that everything worked at home. Haven't spent money on computers so far. I did offer a couple of times, but most people are having that work on their own home phones. We actually had the Kosher Kitchen at Beth Israel Synagogue had frozen kosher meals. And so this last week we delivered about 100 kosher meals to people, which we don't normally do, but they donated them. And we for Victory Day and for Passover, we did food deliveries. So like our kosher food or Russian food for Victory Day. A lot of our clients are Russian. So we did packages of Russian products, which people have just loved because it evokes memories of childhood. As well. So that's been, those are the successful things and the challenges.
Great. Thank you. Jessica, what's up? Yeah.
One of the interesting things that's come out of working at home for us is we have a staff member, our finance person, who is a very, very essential person, so much so that she really is constantly interrupted during the day in the office. And a couple of months ago, I met with her one-on-one, and I encouraged her to think about ways that she could work at home more often. And she pushed back a little, and she said, no, I need to be there, and there's so many things I don't think I can do from home. But in the last 6-7 weeks, we've all been home, and I was thinking the other day that this is a great opportunity for her now to make a transition to doing a few days a week at home. She'd really wanted to cut back a little bit on her hours. And I think this is an opportunity now for her to see that she can do this all from her house. She doesn't have to be in the office.
Right.
And we haven't talked about it yet. It just sort of occurred to me the other day, but this, I'm going to encourage her to make her life easier and continue to be home 2 days a week, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't even thought about it before, but it's happening. We're doing it now, and she's able to work from home.
Oh, it's happening, all right. Rachel Kornfeld, who's from Greenwich, just left, and she said that what's happening with her agencies, she's getting so many more grants. There's so many more grants available, and that's what she's doing right now, is applying for aid to provide more assistance. So I wonder if other people are feeling similarly. Or not. What's happening in Raleigh, Lee Moore?
I just got to unmute myself. How did you know?
I know.
I just feel like that with grants, I think, yes, there are a lot of them out there, but at least my experience has been is that either we need to work insanely quickly to try to even apply, or that there's so many organizations applying right now that it's just that we just don't get it. I applied to a lot of them and didn't get any of them. And then several times I continued revising all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It worked better to work more in the relationship with our current funders than it is to try to find new emergency aid. So,
yeah.
And just in general, we've been doing happy hour. And I think that has been, and it was definitely a rule that we don't talk about about work during that time. I think that we're at the point now that, especially because we know that this is going to continue being the situation for a while, is that I'm actually kind of looking for something different to refresh that, because happy hour has been fun, but it's exactly the same time, exactly the same day after everybody's tired. So less people are coming to that right now.
Like what? Is anyone else doing something?
We did a morning, like instead of a happy hour, we did a morning and share your favorite morning drink. So everyone talked about the kind of coffee or tea or what they drink and why they prefer that. And it was like, and then we did a poll like Dunkin' or Starbucks or tea. You know, it was like a fun thing to just, you know, 20 minutes of everyone talking about it. And it helped me as I took a couple notes of things, because the one thing I wanted to ask everyone was, what I haven't done is done a care packages for everyone, individual staff who've truly gone above and beyond. We've done things for, but I haven't done something for everyone, which I kind of feel badly about. And I wanted to do something. So I just wanted to know what others have done. I know there was a chat a few weeks ago on Facebook, but I didn't know if anyone could share with that, because I wanted to do something this week.
Chime in.
Yeah, Tara and Ken. Our Ohio folks.
Go ahead, Tara.
So we have a local caterer who is our go-to for all of our Jewish functions. He's not exclusively kosher, but he will provide kosher catering. And they've taken a hard hit and have been doing meals to go. And I went to him and I purchased, like I said, I'm small staff, so this might not be doable for everybody. But I have my 3 full-time and my 3 part-time drivers. And I purchased dinner for everybody and dropped it off at their homes on 1 week, just as a thank you for everybody being so great for everything right now. Didn't realize how far apart some people live in my afternoon.
Right, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
But I delivered them all to everybody's homes, and as a thank you for being so great during this time.
That was just 3 people, or?
My 3 full-time plus my 3 part-time drivers.
Okay.
What'd you do, Ken?
Similar to what Tara said, we have a caterer as well. So we brought in some food a couple times, whether it was breakfast or lunch. We're all in the office at different times right now. There's a few of us not in the office at all. But even something like a gift card, there's 10 of us total. Coffee gift cards, they really love that a lot. All of our staff drink coffee. And it's just something to show some kind of token of appreciation for them.
I think that's a great idea.
We did Amazon.
Like that. Hey, Howard.
We did Amazon gift card for our staff. Our board really wanted to do something. I know we're way too spread out to kind of get around anywhere, but staff really appreciated just the idea that the board was recognizing their efforts and how much work they're doing. And I will say, I'm sure everybody feels this way, that staff have really stepped up. And they have been amazing in terms of just on a dime, totally adjusting to a new world, a new way of operating. And so really appreciated that.
You know, Howard, staff didn't just step up, you know, the executives really stepped up. I mean, everyone changed on a dime. You had to completely do something different. It's amazing. And I really want the network to recognize everyone in the network that, you know, did something, that made a change, that stepped up, because, you know, all these essential workers, everyone's being recognized as heroes. I really feel like all of you are heroes. All of us are heroes, because you're really doing, you know, important work and you haven't stopped. I mean, I know you're not necessarily going out in the world and seeing clients and being in close contact, like, I guess, grocery shop or grocery workers or doctors and nurses, but you're doing important essential work. And so you all have to know that too. Anyway, I don't know why I just said that, but it's true. And I also wanted to say that in my last call, they were talking about potentially agencies swapping social workers so that social workers can meet with your social workers and talk about anything that's going on, and they can really say what they're feeling and run a group. I don't know if that would be anything that you all would be interested in doing. Instead of you running your own group, you running your own happy hours and breakfast meetings, having another social worker from another agency coming in and
virtual sabbaticals.
A group.
A virtual sabbatical.
Something like that. Or a support group for your staff that
would be interesting.
Is run by someone else, not by yourselves. If you're interested in participating in that, let me know. Just email me. That would be good.
One of my issues, I just wanted to,
and I have
when
to
you asked about other happy hours, I'm sorry you needed
to go on.
I was going to say, one of the problems that I'm having, and I don't know if anyone else has this, but we have a total of 18 staff, but only 5 of us are full time. And so everyone else is hourly at different schedules. And some of them have been working significantly over their budgeted hours. And so that's where I'm hesitant to add more staff meetings, more happy hours, more of these support groups, because the fact matters is that people do charge their time for it. Even if it's just a social happy hour, they're charging their time, and we truly need to devote all of our resources, because we've lost, or we foresee losing money for fundraising, you know, projecting that way, that I need to be really mindful of that.
So we did the flip of that. We're in an environment here where our government has passed legislation that says, you know, there's been a public sector salary freeze. So we haven't been able to give staff salary increases for 4 years. And so we can't even give them a gift card. but what we have done is we've given them a mental health day in the month of May. And we've left it up to them and their managers to work that out within their teams. The response to that was phenomenal.
That's a great idea.
You know, if you're, and the question even came up, so if someone is part-time, are they going to get half a day if they're half? No. Give them a full day. Work it out within your teams and your managers, with your managers, well, which day it's going to be. Make sure you've got your cover. And turn off your phone. We don't want to hear from you, even if you hear from us. Whether it's you want to spend time with your husband or you want to get away from your husband, do whatever you need to do. It's a day for you. Something I picked up on another call, one of these calls, was we're having all of our staff reach out, all of our board reach out to individual staff members. So we divvied up our board. You know, we have about 45 staff. We gave each board member about 3 names to reach out with an email and then follow up with a phone call. Purely an appreciation phone call. It's not to talk about all the ailments of the agency that they wish could get better, but this is about just, you know, we encourage you in what you're doing. We support you. Thank you. Would you like me to keep calling? Because I can call you once or twice a week if you want. My line is open. And that was also very well received. And the board felt like it was something very, very active that they could be doing to be part of this.
Yeah, that's good to engage them. This is what we also decided, but it didn't work this time. I would really like to have all of our meetings be 50 minutes as long as we're home, so that we can get to our next meetings at 2 without rushing everyone off the phone. And you guys can, if you have a 2 o'clock, you can go to the bathroom, but I actually have a 2 o'clock, so I have to go. So I appreciate all of you being here on the call, and I look forward to our next call, which, does anyone know when it is? Okay, I can tell you if you're still here. Oh my goodness. So now we have 26 affinity groups. It's a lot. Okay, I don't know. I can't find it anywhere. Oh, here it is. July 20th, I think. Okay, I'll let you know. Thank you all.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
And thanks, Al.
Yep. Thank you, everyone. Nice to meet everyone.
Thank you, Al. Thank you, Al.